A possibly rigged election, a potential World War III, and imprisoning political opponents are all threats to the future of our country. As we celebrate our nation's birthday this week, we have to ask ourselves if this will be the last one for America as we know it. And on that high note, hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host, editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, I just want to encourage people to smash that like button, like the Democrats are trying to smash America. Subscribe to the channel, let other people know about it. Subscribe to our email newsletter, just go to crisismagazine.com, put in your email address, and we will send you an email once a day with the articles of the day. Also, you can follow us on social media at Crisis Mag. Okay, so let's get started. So I'm recording this, it's on July 2nd, and so it's the week of July 4th. The Independence Day is coming up here in a couple days. Now, I do have a confession to make. My wife likes to tell people I'm the least patriotic person that she knows, and that's probably true. Now, it's not that I don't love my country. I very much love and appreciate the United States of America, always have. But I've never really gotten into the rah-rah of July 4th. I don't like fireworks that much. I mean, I like them, but they're not that big a deal to me. I can take them or leave them. But what really is the truth is over the past, like probably 15 to 20 years, I've just really become kind of disgusted with the equivalence of patriotism with supporting the military, which ultimately means supporting the military industrial complex and deciding what wars we will go to keep them afloat. I don't like that connection there, that it always has to be about supporting the military. And I don't like how it ends up a lot of times meaning we have to support our government without thinking. And so I'm not a huge 4th of July person. I admit that. But that being said, like I said, I do love our country. And because I love our country, for those of you who are Americans who are listening, if you're not American, welcome. You know, your country isn't as good as ours, but, you know, you can still listen in. So the fact is, though, we have a lot of threats to the future of our country. I'm not saying that July 4th, 2025, next year, there won't be an America. What I am suggesting, though, that there's a decent chance that July 4th, 2025, America will be very different than it is now. That won't be the same fundamentally than it is today. I think it's different now than it was even 25 years ago or so. I think after 9/11, a lot of things started going downhill in the country that had nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. Had to do with our response to it, how we dealt with things. And so I really think, though, that this is a big deal. And I think we need to think about this as Catholics. We need to talk about it. We need to figure out what we're going to do next. So the first thing I want to talk about today related to this, though, is the Trump-Biden debate from last week. I mean, for those... Okay, so I got in about 15 minutes late. I had to do something with my family, and so I came back and I turned it on, and I was going to have it on my iPad where I watch it, and then I'm also watching like my political Twitter feed to see what people are saying. And before I even got the Twitter feed up, I got the debate up, and within 3 seconds, Biden was talking. I thought, oh my goodness! I mean, it just took 3 seconds, and actually, it got worse when he stopped talking, and they showed Trump talking and the split screen with Biden on the screen as well. That was actually probably the worst for Biden, was just him standing there. Now, I've said this before, online, but I'll say it here. There's something in me that has a certain reaction when I see Biden like this, and it's because of the fact he looks a lot like my father physically. I mean, the shape of his head and things like that. My dad had Alzheimer's for 8 years before he passed away a few years ago. And so we saw the very slow and sometimes fast decline cognitively my father had. And seeing Biden's face, his facial expressions, the way he looked at Trump at times and the way he had his mouth open, things like that, it really reminded me very much of my father about a year or so, in the final year or so of his life. And I can't help and see that and not have a certain sadness, a certain empathy even. Don't get me wrong. Joe Biden has lived an incredibly evil life. He has done great harm to this country in so many ways. And so I'm not saying that like we should have sympathy for him and therefore vote for him or something like that. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's like the fact that he's being tried out there on television in this condition shows the evil life he's led, because he's surrounded himself with evil people, starting with his wife. Joe Biden is probably the most evil wife in American history for what she's doing to her husband. I mean, I just know, like, I just can't even imagine that, because like my mom, as soon as we kind of realized my dad was having issues, she immediately went into protective mode. She's like, I'm doing everything I can to protect him, not put him in situations in which he's going to be, this is like before he completely, you know, lost his cognitive abilities, you know, where he's going to be embarrassed or anything like that. I mean, complete, because of course she did. What loving wife wouldn't do that? Well, we know one wife that wouldn't do that. That's Jill Biden. And so I will say my initial reaction was like some empathy, some sympathy for Biden himself. But then very quickly it got into anger at just like, I can't believe they're putting him out here. I can't believe our country's gotten to a point where the leader, the commander in chief, is in this condition, and so obviously in this condition. And so it just was, but it was just, it was shocking, to be honest. But in another sense, it wasn't, because those of us, like, I'm sure everybody listening to this, we knew Joe Biden had cognitively declined radically over the past few years. I mean, he wasn't really completely within 2020, but he's a lot better back then than he is now. And that's the way it works in these situations, is you're going to have plateaus and you're going to have steep drops, then plateaus, steep drops. It's not like a perfectly linear decline when you have something. I don't know if he has Alzheimer's or something else, but clearly dementia. And so it wasn't like surprising to us. And in a lot of ways, this was like a good thing for everybody to see, because no longer could you be gaslit by the lies of the media. I mean, it's just amazing how literally the day before, if you even question Joe Biden's cognitive abilities, you were just, you know, laughed at. You're just conspiracy theorists, whatever. And then every single one of them saying, look at Joe Biden's cognitive problems. And so I think that was very interesting. But I think that's a good thing for our country in one sense, because it tells us clearly the man who was elected, however you want to look at it, as president of the United States, as the leader of the country, is not actually leading the country. We all know that. I mean, most of us knew that before last Thursday, but now everybody knows that. Clearly, he's not in charge. He's not running things. So who is running things? Is it Jill Biden? Is it his chief of staff? Is it Barack Obama? Is it just the deep state? Like, just let's call it the deep state, not know who these figures are. I mean, who is it that's running the country? And the fact that we know it's not the person who was quote unquote elected as president, even if we want to say the 2020 election was completely 100% fair, wasn't rigged or anything like that, it's clear that guy's not running things. And so in a way, I think this is a good red pill, you could call it, for the country to see that. Maybe it will wake them up and realize, okay, the way I learned is under Schoolhouse Rock, wherever kids today learn, how the government works isn't the way it actually works in practice. It's a bunch of unelected officials. Now, there was a good Supreme Court ruling last week that hopefully undercuts some of the deep state, undercuts some of the administrative state in running things. But it is something to at least know, because you can't solve a problem until you know what it is. But that, I'm not... The truth is, that's like my positive take on things. I think ultimately this whole thing's negative, but that's my positive take on things. Now, just real quick on back to the debate itself, let's be honest too. Trump wasn't great at the debate, because Biden's condition actually neutered him. Because the way Trump is great, he's not Ron DeSantis or Ramaswamy or somebody like that, where he goes through detailed policy initiatives and talks about all the, you know, how we do this or that. He's much more of a seat of the pants. Okay, the other guy or gal says something and I can get a good zinger back at him. That's where he thrives. He's very good at, like, on his feet, just think of something quickly that basically mocks the other person, knocks him down a notch. They were showing video debate, some highlights from years ago, like 2016 debates with Trump before the election on Twitter, and before the debate on Twitter. And it was funny, because like, I forgot how bad Jeb Bush was. Oh my gosh. I mean, the whole joke about low energy Jeb, I mean, it was just unbelievably ridiculous how Trump controlled him. So in this case though, Trump couldn't do much. So he wasn't that great because he had to be subdued. I mean, I give him credit that he recognized he had to be more subdued, more presidential, so to speak. He couldn't really just be attacking Joe Biden because it would look like the elder abuse that Jill Biden is engaged in. And so in that sense, he did his job, which was to kind of stay out of the way. And so the whole setup of the debate that CNN made, it was supposedly for Biden's sake. You kind of wonder if it all backfired, if that was the point, because it made Biden look worse because Trump couldn't interrupt him. And so, and also I thought that Trump was, I mean, Trump's answer on abortion was not good. I also thought, like, when Biden finally brought up Trump being a convicted felon, I really thought he dropped the ball on that one, because he immediately, and this is a very Trumpian thing to do, he immediately went back and shot back, like, your son is a convicted felon. But, like, that's not, like, that doesn't really do anything. What he should have said, I think, is something to the effect of, yeah, and I wear it with a badge of honor, that your corrupt political system, the way you've corrupted the judicial system, has tagged me with these felonies. And, like, basically just embrace it and say, yeah. But I don't think that's not, Trump didn't want to do that for whatever reason. So I think, though, beyond the debate now, where do we go from here? The election's just in a few months. The election's November 5th. So it's almost July 5th. So 11 minus 6, 7. Okay, so it's 4 months away. How about that for quick on-the-spot math during a podcast? I know you're all impressed. So 4 months until the election. What the heck are the Democrats going to do? Now, some people are arguing, a lot of people are arguing, this was all planned, like to make Joe Biden fall on his face so they could replace him. They knew, like the establishment knew months ago, Biden cannot make it through the whole election cycle. So what they would do is they purposely had these debates early. CNN set them up for this. You saw how literally the second the debate's over, the entire corporate media establishment, which was completely behind Biden, turned on him 100%. CNN, MSNBC, all of them. They just turned on him like that. And usually when that happens, there's been a memo from on high. I don't actually think there's a physical memo that goes out, but there's something that has been said that, okay, this is now what we think. You saw that with, like, COVID, like when the Wuhan leak, lab leak theory was like, oh, laughed at. And then one day, Jon Stewart makes a joke about it. Now all of a sudden, everybody agrees with it. So this happens. And so that is a theory. I'm not sure if I buy it. To be honest, I'm not sure if I buy it, because it's a really dangerous game they're playing and they're waiting too long. I mean, I kind of feel like if they really wanted to get Biden out of it, they could have done it months ago from some other way. But so anyway, that's possible. So the question is, the Democrat convention's here, and I think in a month. And so what are they going to do? Will they have a new, will Biden step down? Will he not step down, but they'll try to force him out? Will he step down from the presidency and let Kamala be president, so she's the incumbent running against him? Will they get somebody other than Kamala? Will they get, you know, Newsom or Whitmer or somebody like that? And the fact is, if you look at it just objectively, every single option is terrible for the Democrats. Biden obviously is terrible. Kamala Harris, I give her so much credit for one thing. You know what that is? She has actually been able to be more unlikable than Hillary Clinton. I thought it was impossible for somebody to be less likable than Hillary Clinton, but give Kamala credit. She's done it. So I think that the question is, though, what are they going to do? Because here's the overriding thing that drives the Democrats, the media establishment, Hollywood, academia, and the deep state. And that is one thing and one thing only. Trump cannot be president, no matter what. That is the one thing that they just simply cannot abide by, is Trump winning again. For the third time, maybe. But they cannot handle the idea of Trump back in the White House. I mean, and I honestly believe, and I say this completely literally, I think they will do anything to prevent that from happening. Anything. And so right now it's like, okay, if that means we have to throw Biden under the bus, that's what we're going to do. Who cares? I mean, it's not like Democrats care about people or like loyal to them. They're just loyal to the ideology. So they'll throw him under the bus. But they know they don't have great options. And so I think right now, I don't think it's as planned as some people think. I think there's a decent chance that there's complete chaos in the Democratic machine, in the deep state, trying to figure out what are we going to do right now. I think that's the most likely scenario, because I just don't think any, you know, trying to get somebody else. I do think, like, for example, somehow Newsom became the candidate. I mean, we all know he's a disaster in California, but that's not how people vote for president. I think the fact that he's a younger, you know, energetic, better, good-looking guy and all that, I think that's enough. I don't think he, you know, I think a lot of people, they'd be swayed to vote for him because Trump bad, if that was the case. I think Kamala would kill a lot of that. I mean, she would just be so bad. And Hillary, just no. And some of these other possibilities I don't think would work either. But I think Newsom could be a possibility. And so the question is, how would they do this? Because ultimately the Biden camp, like Biden team, has to agree to this or else it just doesn't happen. If Biden does not himself. Now, there has also been talk that maybe Biden could be removed from the ticket from other ways, which I probably can't even, I'm not even sure if I can say out loud on YouTube, but, you know, just eliminate him from the race. And I don't think that's, I'm not saying it's not possible. Obviously it's possible, but I think they could be do it a lot easier. I mean, his mental competence is so bad right now. I think you can remove him if you needed to, but that's another thing that could take time. That's the problem, is the clock is ticking. If they don't do this soon, like really get an actual candidate on the ticket ASAP, they're in trouble. I don't think they can wait till their convention. I think that's too late at that point. But, you know, we'll see. Now, let me get back to the point, though, which is the most important point, I think, in all this. They do not want Trump to win. That is the most important driving force. They care less who is in the White House. Obviously, they could care less. They literally have Weekend at Bernie's at the White House right now. Why would they care about who's president as long as it's not Trump? And so what will they do? I mean, we already see they're imprisoning Trump people. Steve Bannon just went to jail yesterday, July 1st. He just went to jail yesterday for a charge that nobody's gone to jail for before, that Hunter Biden also is guilty of, and he isn't charged with it or going to jail for it. So, I mean, I really think that, and with Trump's convictions, felony convictions, and of course the sentencing coming up, although that's been delayed, I just saw this a few hours ago, that's been delayed till after the Republican convention. I just think they're going to do anything they can to stop Trump and not allow him. And so whether that means going against Trump or going against the election, I don't know. Because obviously he could go against Trump himself. I think that's very difficult because I think the Secret Service take their job very seriously. I think that the Secret Service, they do not mess around. I mean, obviously you could argue that maybe the Secret Service is infected by the deep state, maybe, but I really don't. I think that's highly unlikely, very difficult, I'll put it that way. The more likely thing is I think they go against the election. They go against the election. And there's multiple ways they can do this. Obviously, they can rig it. They can outright steal it. I think I've mentioned this before, I think, that the 2020 election was 100% definitely rigged. Whether or not it was stolen, I think, is not something, whether or not it was stolen is proved. I'll put it that way. I think it was rigged. There is a difference. Rigged just simply means things were done that should not have been done, that were like, for example, the Hunter laptop thing being called disinformation, all those type of things to rig the election. Stolen is where you're actually literally taking ballots and removing them or adding fake ones or something like that. But I do think that the point is, I think the election itself is the target. Now they could try to, so I think three different things they could do. They could try to rig it again. They were successful with that in 2020. So that's probably the most likely scenario. They could outright steal it, where they literally are stealing ballots or adding, you know, fake ballots or whatever. Or they could stop the election, meaning not let it happen. I think that's a possibility. That where you have a World War III, which is clearly in the works right now, if something like that breaks out, that's a benefit to the Democrats and they know it. Because if World War III breaks out, let's say it breaks out in September. And when I say World War III, I don't necessarily mean it'll be called World War III, but something where the United States is in a hot conflict, not proxy conflict, but a hot conflict with another country. Most likely it would be Russia. Well, there's two ways that helps the Democrats. First is all of a sudden now you have that inherent patriotism I was talking about earlier that kicks in. Like, we have to support our commander in chief. We have to support our government right now. You don't change horses midstream, things like that. And therefore, more people would actually vote for the Democrat ticket, whoever it is, because of that. Or you just simply do a Zelensky and say, we can't have a fair and free election right now because of the fact we're in this war, and so therefore we're going to have to postpone it. Now, some might say, well, look, listen, we've been at war during elections in America before. We literally had an election during the Civil War. We had an election during World War II. I can't remember if I don't think we had an election during World War I, but I mean, we had an election during World War II, 1944, literally one of the biggest years of the war, so to speak, as far as American involvement. We had an election that year. But that doesn't matter anymore. All historical precedences in America are out the window already. So I do think it's possible they could just say, okay, we're gonna delay the election. And we all know what that means. Now, obviously, there might be a response to that. I don't know if they'd get away with it. But the point is, as long as Donald Trump is not in the White House as of January, they don't care. That's all that matters. And let me just take a step back for a second and just note how stupid that is. I see all this Trump derangement syndrome. And it literally is a mental illness, because we've had 4 years of Donald Trump as president saying, oh, he will do this if he becomes president, when he didn't do it the first time, is just kind of ridiculous, especially when it's something so radical. Like, for example, I mean, he was saying during the 2016 election that Hillary should go to jail. She should be locked up. Did he do one thing to make that happen? No. So you really think he's going to go after Rachel Maddow? I mean, she has a smaller audience than a mid-level podcaster. Why would anybody care about her? But they're saying these things like Trump's going to do all these crazy things, when we've already seen in 4 years of Trump, he's not going to do all these crazy things. He didn't do them. Some of them I wish he had done. And he didn't. So to think he's also going to be a radically different president than he was the first time around. Yeah, he hopefully would be better from our perspective, but he's not going to be radically that different. And so therefore, I just think it's just insane. It's just insane that people are willing to literally destroy this country in order to keep out a man who's really not even that bad. I say that to somebody who's not a huge Trump fan. I'm supporting him, but I'm not like a Trump sycophant who thinks that like Trump's the greatest person ever. He'll do all this stuff, whatever. They just invent things for Trump. And then they're like, we have to destroy our country if necessary in order to prevent this invented Trump from coming to power. And that's what's so insane about it. And so I do think that all these things are on the table. You know, a different candidate for Democrats, Biden stepping down from presidency, Kamala becoming president before the election, she can be an incumbent, Newsom running, Trump being eliminated somehow, the election itself being rigged, stolen, or stopped, postponed, whatever you want to call it. I think all these things are on the table. And here's my point I'm trying to make in all this. We're about to celebrate our nation's birthday as a free country. Does anything I've been talking about during this podcast make it sound like we're truly a free country, where the person in charge of our country isn't the person in charge of our country, where we're imprisoning political opponents like Steve Bannon and potentially Trump, where there's a good reason, not tinfoil hat conspiracy crazy reason, but a good reason to believe that the election will not be a free and fair election this fall? All these things tell us we're already past being a truly free country. We're not a free country like we were at one point. Now, we're not Soviet Union yet. It's a range. It's a spectrum. It's not like all of a sudden you're 100% free, you know, libertarian utopia on one side or Soviet Union oppression on the other side. There's a whole range there between the two. And we've never been the liberty, you know, libertarian utopia, but we were a lot closer to it at one point. We haven't yet been Soviet Union, but we're going in that direction. And so I think as Americans, as Catholics, we really need to realize this and to wake up. And this is something I wrote about last week about confrontational Catholicism at Crisis. Check out the article if you haven't seen it. My point is this, though. We've got to stop, both with the conflicts within the church and in society, being nice, for lack of a better term. What I mean by that is we've got to stop being like, okay, we can't really say this. We can't really confront this person because they might take it the wrong way. They might react poorly. People might think that we're not being charitable or whatever the case may be. No, we have to fight at this point. We have to fight back. I mean, our weapons are the rosary, prayer, mass, things of that nature. But it also is direct action, doing things to resist the regime that's trying to take over, that is already taken over, but trying to give itself more and more power. We have to stand up to this. We have to speak out. We have to make it very clear to people who are open to it, what's happening here. That's why I said it was a good thing when Biden fell on his face last week, because hopefully it opened some eyes. Some people be more like, well, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm really behind all this, if literally the guy in charge is not the guy in charge. So I think we really have to stand up and be very forthright about this. Now, here's another thing I want to, one of my final thoughts here on this is that for a long time, I kind of considered the Democrats and Republicans not very much different. The Republicans are basically just 5 years behind the Democrats. And I still do think that on one level. Don't get me wrong. I don't think I'm not like a Republican. I'm still not a Republican. I'm not going to be a Republican. But like, I do think that something has changed in recent years, and that's the Democrat Party. The Republican Party is as lame as it's always been. But the Democrat Party, which has always been evil, it's always like the joke, the Democrat Party is the evil party, the Republican Party is the stupid party. The Republican Party is still a stupid party. They still do stupid things. The Democratic Party is still evil, but the evil has gone up a new level. We've seen that in the past decade. I don't know how you can be older than maybe 30 and not recognize the dramatic difference in our country over the past 10 years, really the past 8 years, because it is 2016 is when things really turned, because that was when the censorship regime really kicked in. The craziness with Trump, related to Trump against him, kicked in. We had COVID. We had the George Floyd riots. We have the woke culture, transgenderism. It just is not the same country as it was in 2014. I don't think 2014 we were like this great city on a hill or anything like that. We had Obama as president, for gosh sake. But I do think we're radically worse today than we were 10 years ago. Whereas the difference between 2014 and 2004, not that different, frankly. I mean, really, it was about the same. The difference between 2004 and 1994, that was a little bit of a bigger difference, because I think 9/11 really shifted things. So that was definitely a difference. But I still would say, the difference between 2014 and 2024 is the biggest change for the worst that you could even imagine. So I definitely think that we have to recognize that. And because of that, that's why, I mean, I've already talked about this before. That's why I'm supporting Trump this year. Not because all of a sudden I've become a Trumpite and I think he's great. I'm not against, by the way, people who think he's great, that's fine. I'm not like arguing with you. I'm just simply saying that's just me personally. I've never been a huge Trump guy. But I am definitely supporting him, because of the fact that I think he represents a slowing down at the very least against this direction we're going. I mean, Trump's not like great on the transgender issue, but it's not going to be where you're going to have transgender, you know, insane people parading around the White House and being promoted into high positions of power. You know, he's not going to be great on the LGBTQ issues, but we're not going to have it shoved down our throat and in our children's faces under a Trump presidency. You know, so basically, it's not that I think Trump is going to be a good president necessarily, maybe, maybe not. It's just I know that the other option is militantly trying to destroy our way of life, destroy what makes this country great, destroy like families like my family and families like your family. And so for that reason, that's just, I feel like it's becoming a point where we just don't have any option but to support Trump, whether you like him or not. It just is so clear to me now. I mean, it really is. And I really think it is what's happened over the past few years. Now, just to be clear, I still think our long-term solution, I'll just throw this out at the end as like a little bomb here, but our long-term solution is secession, that the country breaks up. I think our country is too big to succeed. I don't think we can manage the way it is. I think we should break up into different entities that govern differently, potentially, maybe have treaties to defend each other, whatever. But I do think that is ultimately the long-term solution. I just realized I started my section on secession about dropping a bomb. I am just so hosed on YouTube at this point. I don't mean a literal bomb, people. I just mean metaphorically, a shocking statement or something like that. I do think that's the long-term solution, secession. But until then, we got to just fight against the government, the Democrats, the establishment, deep state, all those type of things. Okay, I think I'll leave it there. I know this wasn't exactly the most uplifting podcast for the week of July 4th. Enjoy the 4th. Enjoy your fireworks. Wear your red, white, and blue or something like that. And Anthony, I refuse to be in the same territory as you as well because I want to live in a country of good people, not people like you. So just commenting on one of the comments here for those who are listening. Okay, until next time, everybody. God love you.